Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes I cannot believe how quickly the weeks fly by. The weeks, the months, the years. Seems like time moves faster and faster the older I get. And it is hard to believe that it's been 2 weeks since the Super Bowl already and 3 weeks since the entire sports world ground to a halt over the loss of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven others in a helicopter crash. And now here we are, NBA All-Star Weekend, and it was a weekend that everyone wanted to be part of in Chicago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. For the first time, the All-Star Game MVP renamed the Kobe Bryant MVP Award, and it went to Kawhi Leonard.
My words can't even explain just making this the first Kobe Bryant MVP trophy. I want to thank Kobe for everything he done for me, all the long talks and workouts. Thank you. This one for him.
Kobe David Stern, remembered in a variety of ways in Chicago over the last several days. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What'd you think of the new format? Also on our Facebook page. It's great to have you on board. And really pleased to welcome now the voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio, Mark Keshesher, just from Chicago. Fresh off the game and media dining, how was your food?
It was good. It was good to see all the... And hi, Amy. Good to be on with you again. It was good to see old friends. You come to Chicago, you come to whatever all-star city it is, and you figure, we'll have plenty of time. There's 4 days. You catch up with old friends, and then you realize you're just working 23 hours a day, sleeping for one. And then when it's all over, you get a couple hours to meet over a drink. So it was quite a weekend here in Chicago.
That sounds a little bit like Super Bowl week. It's kind of like that as well. So what did you think of the new format, this change to an untimed fourth quarter, and what was a goal, a number that the teams had to hit to win?
Well, I think it accomplished what they had hoped for, the closest All-Star game finish since 2010, I think it was, about a decade ago. It was really, you needed to have a game that was within, say, at worst, 15 points after three quarters. We got 9, and anyone who watches the NBA knows if it's in single digits, it could evaporate in a hurry. So they got the close game they wanted. The target number, I guess, in my heart of hearts, and maybe fans wanted to see a shot to win it. I know Joel Embiid didn't mince any words. He didn't think it should end on a free throw, but and I had no idea it would go whatever it was, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it took. But that was a function of I've never seen guys play defense like that for that long. And you've got not only the best players in the league, but you've got some of the best defenders in the league. And they didn't even sub out, for the last, it felt like, 25 minutes or so. So it accomplished everything I think they had hoped for and more.
I thought it was really funny when Kobe Bryant said to Ramona Shelburne on your broadcast, I'm sorry, not Kobe, Joel Embiid said to Ramona that it shouldn't end on a free throw because that's not basketball. I was like, what? Of course that's basketball. That happens all the time in the NBA. But anyway, so yeah.
I think my retort was, unless it was his team that was shooting the free throw,
exactly.
And then he was all for it.
Yes. So it was obviously a weekend in which we had many tributes to Kobe Bryant, as well as to former Commissioner David Stern. What were some of the poignant moments that you'll remember?
Well, one of the bonuses for our broadcast was, as being the play-by-play guy as opposed to the studio guy I was for 15 years, was I really got to soak in tonight's pregame. And it was so well done from Magic Johnson first with the All-Stars on the stage, and he spoke about both men who were very dear to him, Kobe obviously and David Stern as well. Jennifer Hudson, who's from Chicago here, Oscar winner, Grammy winner. I mean, the vocal stylings and the music and the cello and the minor notes, I mean, it brought tears. And I felt like you know, the mourning period was over. Not that you ever really stopped mourning, but there were tears that was hard to explain from a person you hardly knew, or in my case, you know, my parents or people who are, don't even pay attention to sports, and they were affected by this in some way. And so I felt throughout the weekend, you know, it had been more of a remembrance and holding to high esteem these two, and funny stories, and, you know, talking about other stuff. So I felt, having had a chance to interview LeBron this weekend, which was pretty cool, you know, he talked about moving forward. I was not at the brunch today where they have, you know, Hall of Famers and retired players. There were 3,000 people there, and I was told, again, Magic Johnson got up to talk, and he got 3,000 strangers to hold hands today, you know, for just, you know, 5 minutes and tell stories. And it was, you know, at all different corners of Chicago, you know, it was a time of reflection, and it was a time to honor, you know, what he meant to the league. And, you know, it was really nice to see, you know, that these guys and executives and fans, you know, it could be testy if it's, you know, your team against another team, kind of, you know, come together for a weekend. And it was there was just a good spirit around the city.
Mark Kestisher from Chicago in the wake of the NBA All-Star festivities, the voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Sometimes you get veteran guys who've been in the game many years who, I don't want to say they consider it a joke, but it's not something that really brings their best effort. You mentioned the defense in the fourth quarter, but how did you see the players really respond to this opportunity to honor Kobe and to be in Chicago together with their peers just 3 weeks after he died?
Yeah, I think in some way it was almost like a little bit of healing, because especially for the guys, and there was such a large schedule on that Sunday 3 weeks ago, and games went on, and it was very difficult for so many guys, and they hadn't really, you know, been able to process everything. So I think those who were fortunate to come here to be on the team or be in the events over the weekend, I think there, you know, was, you know, a little bit of a healing time, and, you know, the brotherhood. And I think that was good for them and for the All-Stars to be on the court. And there were 10 new guys who had never played before. And I even sensed a little nerves from some of them. I happened to be behind the scenes near the press room at United Center, which is near, you know, both dressing rooms. And guys that were coming out, I just remember Pascal Siakam from the Raptors just kind of took a breath as he was about to jog through the crowd to get out to the court. And I think they sensed, you know, almost, you know, a little bit of history was going to be made, and they were going to be a part of it. And how was that all going to work out? Mm. So, you know, I think we all are wondering, you know, in the few people I spoke with at the media party, just how this plays moving forward. If, you know, this system of, you know, no time fourth quarter and a target score, if it can ever live up to what we just witnessed. Or, you know, was it just a one-year thing? So time will tell on that. But I know that everyone who was here this weekend was very happy to be here.
I know that you have been in Los Angeles a bunch, and clearly with the Lakers and Clippers being two of the top contenders for an NBA title. And LeBron has really taken a kind of a leadership role, almost being the mouthpiece of the NBA since Kobe Bryant's passing, and of course addressed the Lakers fans and Staples Center when they first came back. You mentioned that he talked about moving forward. What did he have to say?
Well, he just his big thrust in the two or three questions I had, you know, on speaking about Kobe was that, and I think he said it in that speech too, was that he wanted to take the legacy, not only move it forward, but just to make sure that nobody, you know, would forget. And I think one of his words, if I'm saying it exactly, was that, you know, he would never realize that Kobe would be even bigger than he already was in death, than he was alive. And he was, you know, tremendously huge, obviously, during his life. So I think making sure that they live up to his standard, and so many, you know, of the younger generation who are just coming up now in the NBA, who Kobe was their guy, and the quote-unquote Mamba mentality, I mean, that is something they take to heart. And for many of the young All-Stars, that's what drives them. And any chance to have had met him or to have worked out with him or just got some advice with him. I mean, resonates with all of them. And I felt that LeBron in that discussion we had, we only had him for about 10 minutes, was that he wants to make sure that carries on because the new generation coming in, they know, but 5-10 years from now, they probably won't, but they want to make sure that they do.
Mark Kesticer from Chicago with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. I thought it was interesting, too, this gathering, because there were many Hall of Famers, because there are guys from previous eras, and guys who played with Kobe, against Kobe. John Barry was on your broadcast. I know you've covered the NBA for years and years. So it was an interesting mix of not just guys like Joel Embiid and others who watched Kobe play that inspired them, but guys who actually were part of, Kobe's era and got a taste of what he brought to the table firsthand.
Yeah, and it was interesting for me as a young reporter or young host that got a chance, maybe to talk to him for 5 minutes every All-Star game, not really get a sense of who he was because I thought his guard was always down at All-Star break, and it was also the people that I was surrounded with. We had Dr. Jack Ramsey on our broadcast, who Kobe loved, and Jim Durham was there, who Kobe was very familiar with. So he was very easy to talk to. And then when I find out from past teammates, he had such an edge, especially in his younger years. He could be tough on teammates, and that's what I thought. I think JB had a few of those comments during the broadcast tonight that he's like, Kobe would have loved this game. He would have loved to watch it. He would have loved to play in it because it was gritty and it was basketball. And, I feel that teammates, it was an acquired taste, but he was a winning taste. Like, if you wanted to be good, you had to measure up. You had to, bring along the same intensity. He obviously eased up as he got older, and after he retired, and these years since, that he's even gotten into our business on the media end, and he's been reflective and supportive. You talk to people who have seen so many different, facets of Kobe Bryant, and it just kind of adds up to really the complex person that he was.
And I hope that everyone being so excited about being part of the weekend eclipse complaining about the cold, because I know it was cold in Chicago.
That's right. It was an easy out early. It was cold. We were just on the streets for 10 minutes, and I said, oh, you should have been here Friday. It was -2. This was a tough walk. But yeah, that all kind of melted away.
If you haven't seen Mark's Twitter, you can find him, M-A-R-C, Kesticer. He's got a photo up close of Magic Johnson with all of the All-Stars behind him addressing the United Center crowd. And as you say, getting thousands upon thousands of people to hold hands like they were in church and to have a moment of silence. And so pretty cool. I know it's been a really long day for you, long weekend. As you say, you don't really sleep much, but this is now our annual date, Mark. So thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
I was going to say 2 All-Star games in a row. Let's not wait till Indy next year.
Okay, let's not do Thanks, Mark. Travel safe.
You got it. Thanks, Amy.
If you haven't seen Mark's Twitter, he's got some really cool photos. I'll retweet this one where he is really eye level with the stage and Magic Johnson and the players behind him, but also has a photo up close. I'm telling you, it's like in your face with the Super Bowl MVP, who was also in the house in Chicago, Patrick Mahomes. He caught him in a moment of reflection. So good stuff. And Mark has not only worked in the NBA for years and years, but is now the voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio. But I know him because he was the first person ever to introduce himself to me when I started at my previous network. And we have been friends and golf partners for over a decade. We enjoy having the opportunity every now and then to cross paths, though it doesn't happen nearly as much anymore. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, we're asking you, what's your reaction to this All-Star Game format? And while there's been no announcement about what it will be like moving forward, you got to wonder, the NBA can't mess this up, right? They can't not change the format from now on, at least in the fourth quarter, considering that it was such a big hit. My only caveat being, with these guys playing so many minutes, this wasn't a fourth quarter in which they were loafing it. You heard Mark say, and if you watched it or listened to it, you recognize guys like Kyle Lowry, LeBron James, Giannis, Anthony Davis, they played almost the entire fourth quarter. So it was like a 25-minute stretch, and there were very few timeouts where they had no breathers until the end, where there were a bunch of replays and reviews and free throws, so they had maybe a chance to catch their breaths. But it was a taxing Sunday night. Now, they've got a couple more days days before they get back to games that count. But yeah, I don't know. Are you, if you're an owner or if you're a coach, are you a little bit worried about the fact that your All-Stars weren't taking it easy over this weekend? Thanks so much for tuning in as we say farewell to a Sunday and hello to a Monday. We're glad to have you on board. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
LeBron James has been a spokesperson for the NBA for many of its rank and file, as well as its stars, ever since the loss of Kobe Bryant, the moments in which he has appeared in public, in which he has taken the microphone, he's made sure they counted. And if you missed my conversation with Mark Kestisher, that was what LeBron was doing in Chicago as well, the role he was playing, as you hear him talk about what a privilege it is to honor Kobe Bryant with this All-Star game, this All-Star weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Great to talk to Mark. It's really long day, long weekend for him, and he has to catch a flight in a couple of hours. So it was good to hear his reflections as someone who's in the center of it all and someone who's worked in the NBA for quite a while. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's toll-free, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. Again, 855-212-4CBS. There were a couple of other NBA newsy items, so to speak, that were worth mentioning. I think for the most part, this weekend will, you know, whatever controversy there was with the dunk contest, whatever money there was handed out, whoever won the MVP. I think people will remember that Kawhi Leonard won the first ever Kobe Bryant MVP award. But whatever other news there was, the commissioner talking about changing the format and shortening the regular season, adding this tournament, which would take place around Thanksgiving, but actually continue forward into December. All of this stuff becomes secondary. And so, yeah, there was fun to be had, and you saw the guys enjoying the All-Star festivities on Saturday night with, you know, the dunk competition, the dunk off, so to speak, between Aaron Gordon and Derrick Jones, you know, the 3-point competition. But for the most part, this weekend couldn't have come at a better time. If this had happened a week after Kobe passed, a week after the helicopter crash, it wouldn't have been the same. The grief would still have been so heavy. And that isn't to say that these guys don't care, that they've gotten over it. Certainly the NBA world and the legion of fans who love Kobe Bryant, they're going to feel his impact for years, forever. And that's really what LeBron James had talked about, is honoring him and moving it forward now. But if this had been the week after the crash, I don't think you would have had the same joy. No, it was bittersweet. But the joy in honoring Kobe, those tributes from Magic Johnson would have been too painful. There would have been a lot more tears. And Mark said, because they were so poignant, because Magic Johnson knew both Kobe Bryant and David Stern so well, that there were still some tears. But there was also hope. And there was also joy. And there was also energy and excitement and a different way to move forward, as opposed to that Sunday when Kobe Bryant died and the news broke and the NBA still had some of its games. Even on that Tuesday following the helicopter crash, when the Lakers and Clippers were supposed to play and that game got postponed, the grief was paralyzing then. The shock was paralyzing. As I mentioned to you, time really ground to a halt. And in the sports world, that doesn't happen very often. At the Super Bowl, that entire next 7 days leading up to the game, the number one topic of conversation was still Kobe Bryant. And although we talked football and we enjoyed our time on Radio Row with Hall of Famers and former and current players and other movers and shakers. Every chance I got, I asked about Kobe, whether it be from, you know, a college player entering the draft, whether it be from a contemporary on USA Basketball on the women's side. It was still so, I think, what's the word I'm looking for? Acute. The emotions were still so acute. But this was perfect timing. It was the right way to honor Kobe. It was a game he would have appreciated with all of his intensity that, again, very often rubbed teammates and competitors the wrong way. The NBA does have a great sense of events and appointments, if that makes sense. They always know how to throw a party. And in this case, it was the NBA's All-Star Memorial to Kobe Bryant. Now, we still have his memorial that will be held at Staples Center coming up in a week. He was laid to rest in a private ceremony. It's very small. In fact, we didn't even know about it till after it happened. He and his daughter buried on their family property on February 7th. But because of the 2/24, the significance of February 24th and the date, that memorial service will come up later this month. Really has been a month dedicated to Kobe Bryant. But these guys didn't have to feel guilty for laughing, for smiling, for honoring him. 3 weeks was the right amount of time for them to get out from underneath the blanket of grief, still pay tribute to him, still talk about him, but to be able to do it without voices quivering and tears falling. Magic Johnson tweeted after his on-court tribute, "Kobe, we miss you, and I hope we made you proud." For sure. The game, the tributes, the special moments, but also the joy, because Kobe loved the game. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I'd love to hear what you think about the new format. And we're going to pivot a little bit. It was a weekend to hear from commissioners, not just Adam Silver, but also Rob Manfred. Regardless of what Major League Baseball does, and maybe it will change when we get to spring training games. But for now, this vast wasteland until, what is it, early March, when games actually begin, it's going to be nothing but conversation about the Astros and whether or not baseball handled this the right way and whether or not the players deserve to be punished. And what about those awkward asshat apologies? So it continued all the way through the weekend to the point where Rob Manfred had to do not just multiple interviews, but also did a press conference just to address this. He wants it to go away. It's not. Not anytime soon.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Awkward asshat apologies. In fact, I use it as my alliteration and my hashtag even over the weekend as I was giving you the link to our podcast from our last show of last week. Astros awkward asshat apologies.
I'm sorry.
I mean, okay. Okay. Could you picture a scenario in which you would forgive the Astros? Maybe not. If you're one of those people that's taking it really hard.
No.
A Dodgers fan, a Yankees fan, maybe an Indians fan. How about no? I will buy that there are some fans and members of the baseball world who are not going to forgive and forget and wouldn't be willing to put it behind them, no matter how sincere the apology was from Alex Bregman or Jose Altuve or owner Jim Crane, who actually took major steps back in the way that he addressed the world. I thought he did well when the first punishments were handed down and when he fired his manager and his general manager. I thought his public face, his comments, they were suitable. Not so much at spring training. And this is what they came up with after hiring a PR crisis management team. Yikes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. As much as baseball would love it if some other big story would come along and grab away the spotlight, whether it's baseball or otherwise, it's just not happening. Right now, baseball is drenched in the fallout. It's as thick as dew on the grass in the springtime. Drenched in fallout from the Astros sign-stealing scandal. And just as a side note, I continue to have to tell people the difference between stealing signs and stealing signs with technology. How many people still don't get that that's what's been outlawed by Major League Baseball? And so I'm still answering questions.
It's science.
Baseball's not saying you can't steal signs. They can't regulate that anyway. Baseball's allowed to steal signs, just like I stole signs when I was a kid. When we were in high school, college, it's a part of the game to go back and watch video. Now, of course, you have access to video, but in general, to try to interpret the signs that are being flashed in from third base coaches or from catchers to pitchers, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's what guys on second base have been doing for years, guys and gals. No, it's the use of technology, and it goes back to the Apple Watches with the Red Sox and everything else. And baseball instituting a new policy in which it indicated that using technology would result in major penalties to the GM and to the managers, first of all, because they were the ones in charge, and second of all, to the teams themselves who allowed it to go on. Well, the Astros got caught. They got hammered, but the only way that Rob Manfred could get the full story, in his opinion, was to grant the players immunity. And that is the crux. I think that's what most people are upset about, is that these players, in their minds, are getting off scot-free. Oh, sure, they have to answer a couple of awkward questions here and there, but so what? They get to keep the 2017 World Series title. They're not losing any money. They're not losing their jobs. No, we got a GM and a manager who were made the scapegoats and the fall guys. And those are the topics that Rob Manfred was addressing on Sunday. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, he goes back and talks about how he felt like in order to get the full story, in order to do a complete investigation, there had to be a trade-off with the players.
We started with a important and fundamental goal. And that goal was to make sure that we found the facts, completed the investigation, figured out what was going on, and put ourselves in a position to be as transparent with our fans and the other clubs as possible. Our desire to find the facts, to figure out what really went on, drove a lot of the decisions that we made in the investigative process.
In other words, we had to offer immunity because we weren't going to get the full story otherwise. And put yourself in the shoes of the Astros, not the cheating part, but the full disclosure part. If you think that there is likely to be a punishment for you, if you think that you've got money and games, maybe time on the job, on the line, do you tell the truth? Maybe a select handful of people do. Most people don't. Why would you? It's self-incriminating. If you were part of it, you're putting yourself directly at risk. And so it makes perfect sense to me, and I get it. It doesn't seem like it's fair that the guys who are actually benefiting from the cheating are not now suffering any type of punishment. I understand it. But let's be honest. If he doesn't offer immunity, the commissioner probably doesn't have the whole story and can't then offer us details about what happened. And I want to know. I'm glad we know. Something else that I thought was interesting too, he indicated in a couple of different interviews that he's done over the weekend that when he released that memo or when he published that memo back in 2017 that indicated electronic sign stealing would result in heavy punishments and penalties, to the GM and the manager, but also that it was outlawed. He's not sure that Jeff Luhnow and AJ Hinch did their due diligence in informing the players. Now, I'm not sure there's any way to know that, and I don't feel like that's an excuse, but he said because he wasn't sure that Luhnow and Hinch passed on the details of that memo to the players, because he wasn't sure the players were completely informed about how serious it was to use technology to steal signs, he felt like if he tried to penalize the players, the Players Association, the union, was going to step in and file grievances. Okay, so it's not so much, hey, we want to be lenient, maybe the players didn't know. Whatevs. What he's saying is that because we couldn't figure out, we couldn't determine, we weren't sure that the players had been completely informed about that memo in 17, that if we tried to punish them, the union was going to come back with us at, with us and have all these grievances, and that it could turn into a legal process. And they weren't willing to tangle, plus they wanted the full story. I don't know if that makes you feel any better, but that's the other reason he gave for why he didn't go after players and punish players in the Astros clubhouse. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. He also really balks at the idea that the players are getting away with it, that they're getting off scot-free, that they're not suffering any type of punishment. I don't think I agree with him here, but you can hear what he has to say.
The one thing that I do take issue with, the notion that anybody in the Houston organization escaped without punishment. They have been hurt by this. They will live with questions about what went on in 2017 and 2018 for the rest of their lives. And frankly, it's rare that for any offense, you have a punishment that you will live with for the rest of your life.
I'll just be honest, as he's saying that, and I've heard it before, I'm still rolling my eyes. I mean, the idea that they are going to be punished with this and suffer with this for the rest of their lives. Okay, sure, there's going to be an asterisk next to their title. There's going to be suspicion about their title and about them forever. There's going to be skeptics and cynics who never accept them as some of the best players in the game. And just like Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, every single time their names come up or their organization comes up, now moving forward, when was Spygate? 2007? I still get responses and reactions every single time I talk about Belichick or Brady or the Patriots. I still get reactions and responses that remind me about Spygate and cheating in 2007. So yes, there will be players, fans, just in general, the public, who isn't going to let it go. But you know what my response to that is? So freaking what? Who cares? They still get to keep their title. They're still World Series champions in 2017. So I don't think that's a huge deterrent. Also, they did this to themselves. Why should there be any leniency? They chose to do this over the course of a 162-plus game schedule. They deserve all of the cynicism and the skepticism. They deserve all of the questions. They deserve to sit there and look like they did baseball wrong, because they did. And yet, they still get to keep their rings and all the money they made winning the World Series. Contracts they made after that. Please. They maybe didn't get off scot-free, but they certainly didn't suffer the worst of it. Nobody lost their jobs except for Luhnow and Hinch. Nobody else is suspended for a year. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So what about taking that 2017 championship away from the Astros?
We thought about it. It was actually one of the, if you talk about minutes of discussion during the process, it was high in terms of the minutes that we spent talking about it. My thinking involves several points. First of all, it had never happened in baseball. And I'm a precedent guy. I'm not saying you always follow precedent, but I think you ought to start by looking back at the way things have been done. And you have to have a really good reason to depart from that precedent. Whether or not you put an asterisk or ask for the trophy back, it just, you know, I don't think it makes that much difference. I think we did what we should do. That was, we found the facts and we were transparent about them. Once you go down that road of changing what happens on the field, I just don't know how you decide where you stop. You know, this has been really fun, but I'd like to move on to other topics at some point.
Oh, I bet you would. But you know what? As I said on Thursday and Friday, you don't get to decide when we decide we're over it. You don't get to dictate when we let it go. It's like having an argument with someone who's hurt you or having a discussion about a relationship that's been damaged by one person's actions. And that person says to you, can we just get over it? Can we just move on? Can we just let it go? Well, no. The damaged party gets to decide when they're done and ready to move on and let it go.
Welcome to the club, bro.
The commissioner can't tell me when I need to forgive and forget. Screw that. No, they have to deal with the fallout. Baseball's to deal with the fallout. And I understand it's not Rob Manfred's fault. But a lot of people have issue with how he handled it. And until there's something to replace this conversation, well, he's just going to have to ride the wave. I do appreciate what he says about precedent. And I don't believe that you can start erasing records and titles. And I know it was a 7-game series. And honestly, it was one of my favorite World Series ever. And so I hate that it's now tainted. But for those of you who... And I don't remember this personally, but I know what the impact that it had on sports. I wasn't working in the business at the time, clearly. But in 1987, the SMU football team got the death penalty in the NCAA. They had to cancel their entire 1987 season, and because they couldn't get their program off the ground again, they had to also cancel their 1988 season. It was because they were paying players money and cars and anything else. And this is what the NCAA chose to do. SMU has never recovered. And so because of that, the NCAA has said they won't ever use the death penalty again, more than likely. So I understand not wanting to go to that extreme. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.